Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Addiction Unlimited podcast, where you get to learn everything you want to know about addiction and recovery. I'm your host, Angela Pugh, co-founder of Kansas City Recovery, life coach, and recovering alcoholic. To learn more about me, you can listen to episode zero on your podcast app or find us on the web at addictionunlimited.com. Recovery phrases have the power to shift your mindset from anxious and worrying about future events that probably won't even happen to bringing you back to the present moment with a simple framework to follow to get you through the day and manage your anxiety. The key is understanding what they mean and how to use them. Hello, my friend, and welcome back to another bonus episode for the 30 Days to Fast Track Your Recovery series. I'm your coach, Angela Pugh. It sounds crazy, and I know many of us love to get annoyed with the AA one-liners and all the recovery phrases out there, but the truth is they work. And if you get them, they can change your whole trajectory. When you understand what they mean, then these few simple words take on a whole new meaning, and it's its own shorthand language where you hear these few words and you know exactly what to do. It's a game changer, especially if you're caught up in future tripping, thinking about a bunch of possibilities. What if this happens? What if they do this or say this? What will I do if this happens? Did you know that studies show 85% of the things you worry about never happen? 85%. That's a lot of wasted time and energy, my friend. I'm going to go through six of my favorite life-changing phrases, what they mean to me, how to use them. Then if you're signed up for the 30 Days to Fast Track Your Recovery series, you're going to have access to six more with a little surprise bonus I'm putting together for you. If you haven't signed up yet and you want access to all the downloadable resources and bonus episodes in one place, there's plenty of time to get in on the action at addictionunlimited.com/fast-track. We still have a few weeks of surprises for you, so get your happy buns over there and sign up addictionunlimited.com/fast-track. I want to share a story with you for our first phrase and the very moment it made sense to me and how powerful it can be. When I was 2 years sober, I was buying a business. And much like almost everything in life, buying a business is a stressful process. It's overwhelming. And the pressure of being a business owner and having employees is enormous. If you've ever done it, you understand what I'm talking about. So it's the day I'm going to my lawyer's office to sign all the final paperwork and get the keys to my building, and my anxiety is super high. Remember, I'm only 2 years sober at this point, so I didn't have the super Zen master coping skills I have today. Today, I don't get bothered by much of anything, but at 2 years sober, I was a lunatic. I was a professional overreactor. I could easily be consumed by every crazy thought I had, and my anxiety had full power over me, my feelings, and my day. So I was up in the morning and kind of tooling around the house, and my head was going crazy. I hadn't even picked up my keys yet, and I was already overwhelmed with the thoughts of my business not being successful. I was thinking about my employees and their paychecks, and their families are depending on me, and how everyone is going to be so hurt and disappointed if this business fails. I didn't even have employees yet, but I was already years down the road closing my business and devastating families, right? Also an overreaction. But my sponsor calls and he says, "What are you doing?" And I say, "Well, I'm freaking out about having to let all my employees go because my business is failing." And he says, "Do you have employees?" "Nope." And here he goes, as usual, saving my life. He says, "Well, why don't we try this?" He said, "Have you walked your dog today?" I go, "No." He goes, "Well, why don't you do that?" I said, "Okay." He goes, "Have you eaten?" I go, "No." He goes, "All right, after you walk the dog, why don't you get something to eat? Why don't we do that?" I said, "Okay." He goes, "Then maybe take a shower. get to the noon meeting. And after that, it might be nice if you take your dog out again. And you have to get the keys before you hire anyone. So maybe drive to your lawyer's office and get the keys. And as he went through and broke down my day like that, that's the very moment that one day at a time made sense to me. And I sat in meetings every day of my life, my friends, like every day of my life. I did not miss a meeting for 5 years. In those rooms, 2 years sober, a meeting every day. And that was the first time I really grasped one day at a time. And it changed everything. And I live by it to this day. If my anxiety is getting crazy or if I catch myself thinking too much about the future, I got to stop and go, okay, dude, what do you have to do today? Like, get your shit together, get your head together. What do you have to do right now? And sometimes I'll grab a sheet of paper and I'll just list it out like a checklist, right? Go to the gym, take a shower, make this phone call, make breakfast, take your vitamins, right? Like, I'll just break it down because that's what I need to do to get my head in the right place and stay in the moment. It is imperative for happiness that we stay in the moment. My head and my thoughts need to be in the exact same place where my feet are. And my feet can't be a week from now or 6 months from now or a year from now. My feet can only be today. So that's one day at a time. The next one, number two I'm going to do is secrets die in the light. We also say secrets make you sick or you're only as sick as your secrets. That's a big 12-step one. And this is a phenomenal concept. Secrets die in the light. Here's what it is. If you keep something in your head and keep it to yourself, right, then it has the opportunity to grow and take over your head. So I have to get that stuff out of my head into the light because then it doesn't have power anymore. Meaning I have to tell another person. I just went through this the other day. I had a few days that my anxiety was off the charts. And that doesn't happen to me very often, right? Because I'm managing my anxiety all day, every day, whether I have any or not. So I keep my anxiety baseline pretty low. But I had a few days that I was feeling crazy. Felt like my entire insides were vibrating, stomach in knots, not eating. Like, and I can't even tell you what was wrong with me. There was nothing wrong with me. I don't know. It just came out of the blue and I was in it. But I'm driving down the road on like day three, the worst day. My anxiety's off the charts. I had gone to a meeting. I'm doing all the things I'm supposed to do, right? And I just feel like I want to vomit, like unwell. And here comes my little alcoholic brain wants to jump in the mix and go, this is why people drink. What you're feeling right now is why people drink. Now, listen, I'm not drinking. I don't have any desire to drink. Alcohol can fuck off. I want no part of it. But that thought, just that thought, I can't keep that to myself. Because if I keep that just in my head, that thought is going to grow. And it's going to be like, maybe you need to drink. I mean, I don't know what my alcoholic brain is going to tell me. That thing is nuts. So I have to say those things out loud to another person. And I did. I reached out to a buddy of mine. I was like, dude, you will never believe what my alcoholic brain just said to me. And we can make light of it, right? And then once it was out, I can laugh about it. It's fine. But I cannot keep it to myself. Secrets die in the light. If you have a thought of drinking, you have to tell somebody. I don't care how small it is. I'm 18 years in. I'm not drinking. You couldn't pay me $1 million to take a sip of alcohol, but I'm still not keeping those thoughts to myself either. That's how I got here, is not keeping those thoughts to myself. You have to create that sort of accountability and you have to get those secrets out in the light so they can die. Next one, life on life's terms. Man, this is a hard one, you guys, but it is. We have to deal with life on life's terms, whether we like it or not. Things don't happen to us because we're alcoholic or addicted or because we're sober, right? Life is gonna life. And what that means is we are going to have financial issues. We're going to have struggles with our kids. We're going to have relationship issues and divorces and breakups. We're going to lose jobs. We're going to deal with death. We're going to deal with health problems. Life is happening to all of us, whether we like it or not. where we get hung up is we want to try to control it, right? We want to try to control these things and we want to try to make it go our way. And it just doesn't work like that. I have to deal with life on life's terms. I can't control what is going to happen or when it's going to happen or why it's going to happen. It's just going to happen. You know, I remember a time years ago, this is probably 15 years ago, all of a sudden, I'm just living my life, minding my own business, and I get a letter from the IRS that they decided to look at my taxes for the last 10 years, and I had been making the same mistake for 10, well, I wasn't making it, my accountant was making it, for the same mistake for 10 years, and they decided I owed them a fat stack of cash for this one mistake for the last 10 years. That's life on life's terms. I don't have any control over that. I didn't do anything to play a role in that, right? I'm filing my taxes. I'm doing my thing. I hired a professional. So that's life on life's terms. But understand that life is going to happen on life's terms. We don't have any control over that stuff. But you also don't want to get angry, resentful, bitter, get caught up in that victim mindset where you feel like things happen to you, or personalize it like you have it worse than everybody else. Listen, it's hard for all of us, right? We're all dealing with the stresses and struggles of life. It happens at different times, right? I've definitely had periods of time where it was much worse for me than it was for anybody else I knew. But I've also had periods of time that things are going pretty well and pretty smoothly, and I'm coping with life well, and other people are dealing with a lot of stuff, right? So it's not that anybody has it worse than anybody else necessarily. It's just that things happen in their own time, and that's life on life's terms. Next, this is one of my favorites, and this was definitely a game changer for me in my sobriety specifically. When you get hit by a train, it's not the caboose that kills you. See, I thought when I got sober, literally in my first weeks of sobriety, I thought I was battling all the drinks, right? So I had, you know, say 20, 25 drinks a day, sometimes a few more, sometimes a few less, maybe probably never a few less, but whatever, somewhere around that number, say 20, 25 drinks a day. And in my early sobriety, I felt like I was fighting all 20 or 25. Like that was my battle. My defenses were up. Like I got to knock out 25 of these M or F-ers every day, right? And somebody said this in a meeting, when you get hit by a train, it's not the caboose that kills you. And it clicked. It's not the caboose that kills you. It's the first car. It's the first drink. All I have to fight is the first drink. The only thing I have to make sure of with 100% certainty is that I don't have the first drink. If I don't have the first drink, I don't have to worry about the next 19. My battle is only with one single drink. And I loved that. It's like a million pounds of pressure lifted off of me when I heard that. Next one, nothing changes if nothing changes. Ooh, you know, I love this one. We've talked about this on a lot of episodes. I think people have this misconception that you make the decision to not drink one time and you live happily ever after. That is not the truth, obviously. I think most of us learn the hard way that it is a little bigger deal than just making the decision one time and living happily ever after. But nothing changes if nothing changes, meaning I can't just decide to not drink and not change anything else in my life and expect to have a beautiful, thriving, happy, fulfilling, sober life. I have to change my behaviors, my decision-making process, my environment to some degree, and that's different for everybody, right? But I have to make changes. I have to make changes in how I view the world, my perception of things, and how I make my choices, right? If I just put down the drink and continued the exact same daily activities with the exact same people day in and day out, I would have never stayed sober. Nothing changes if nothing changes. So understand, when you make a shift in your life, it's going to affect a whole bunch of other pieces of your life. And that doesn't matter if it's a divorce, a job loss, or sobriety. one small maneuver creates a lot of other changes. And you have to be aware of that, and you have to be willing to make those other changes, right? Nothing changes if nothing changes. Last one, change is a process, not an event. This kind of goes with the last one too, right? Where again, people think that it's a one-time thing. Okay, I'm not going to drink anymore and it's over. It's not an event. It's not a singular decision. It is a process. You are transforming from an old version of yourself into a new version of yourself. That doesn't happen in one thought or one decision. It happens day in and day out by making changes, making shifts in your perspective, changing your decision-making process, changing your reaction process to things and people and situations. It's a process. I think this is also where we get hung up and we want to bail on things, right? Because it doesn't happen quickly. Like people think, oh, I want a new job. And like, it's just going to happen and they're going to get a new job. And when that doesn't happen and it's hard and you have to face some rejection and you have to go to a whole bunch of interviews, which looks grueling to me. I don't know how any of you do it, but when you have to do all of this stuff, right? Then it's like, well, this takes too long and it's too hard. This isn't meant for me. And maybe this is the wrong thing. And we stop. We want to give up. It's not an event. It's a process. So stay engaged and use all of the adversity as an opportunity to learn about yourself and get better and make your life better. Right? Recovery is a process, just like life, relationships, jobs, raising kids, keeping things in perspective to minimize worry and rumination is a necessity. I'd love to hear your thoughts about these phrases in the Facebook, if you're in the Facebook group. I'd love to know which ones really stood out to you and brought you to your own light bulb moment. These cliches and one-liners were life-changing for me, and I use them all day, every day, just to keep my head in check, right? And don't forget to sign up for the 30 Days to Fast Track Your Recovery series to get access to all the resources that go with this bonus episode and all the surprise resources I have coming up in the next few weeks. AddictionUnlimited.com/fast-track. You know, I will link that in the show notes for you so you can get there right from your podcast app. AddictionUnlimited.com/fast-track. And you will have access to six more of my favorite recovery phrases along with a whole bunch of other stuff. I love you guys. I hope you're having a fantastic day, and I will see you on the next episode.
You've reached the end of another great episode of the Addiction Unlimited podcast, candid and honest conversation about addiction and recovery. Be sure to visit us at addictionunlimited.com to join the conversation and access show notes and links to everything we talked about. Love this episode? Please take 30 seconds to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes to help us improve and give you the information you want. Thanks for listening. See you next week.